come to worship with us. And we do desire an interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a little while. We had a good sunrise service this morning. There wasn't a lot of us, but Brother Mike did a good job in preaching this morning, and we enjoyed that. And then Brother Lovell taught our adult Sunday school class, and he did a good job as well. And we'd like at this time to invite your attention to the second chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to begin reading at the 22nd verse and read down through the 24th verse. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should be holden of it. Now that's my lesson for this morning, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word and that it will be for our good and for His honor and glory. This being Easter, I think it affords a wonderful opportunity to speak about the resurrection. And I want to start out by sharing with you an event that took place during the life of the Lord Jesus while he was here in the world. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, as well as others, were trying to destroy the Lord Jesus, and they were trying to find some word or deed that they could use against him. And in this particular passage of Scripture, it's in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, they were trying to find a way that they could entrap him with his words. And this man was a lawyer who came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, he said, which is the greatest commandment of the law, the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6 to him. And that verse says this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And then Jesus added this, these words to that verse. Jesus said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And, I'll tell you what my subject is. My subject is the cross and the empty tomb. Now, the law and the prophets, they hung upon those two commandments, as Jesus said. And the righteousness which is of the law was obtained by being obedient to the law. And Jesus, in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, he spoke about the Jews, his own people. He said they did not obtain the righteousness which is of faith, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Now there is a kind of righteousness that is obtained by being obedient to the law. And they did that, the Ten Commandments. But the problem was nobody was ever was ever able to keep those Ten Commandments. In fact, you can't keep the first one. And the reason why that we can't keep the first one is because we're sinners by nature. And we don't love God. There is enmity between us and God, you see. And that has to be reconciled, you know, before you can please God. But Jesus pointed this out, and he said on the law, all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, or depend on these two commandments. Well, I want to tell you today that we're not under the law, but we're under grace. You know, and so that makes a difference. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And I'm going to affirm today that all of Christianity upon that verse of Scripture, all of Christianity depends. Jesus died for our sins, and He rose again for our justification. The Bible is very plain that no one can be saved by the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. And the only way to obtain righteousness is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that when we believe in Jesus, that the righteousness of God is imputed to us. That is, it is given to us as a gift. And the Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And we know today that without the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross, there would be no salvation available for anyone. The Bible says that there is none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. And so I believe that's true today, and I want to share with you just a little bit about this. And I feel the need of the help of God, and I feel the need of your prayers. And I pray that you will, under your breath, even at this time, just breathe a prayer that God would help me as I try to speak to you on the subject of the cross and the empty tomb. Now, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, you know, and there are at least three accounts and maybe four accounts in the Gospels of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look at the record that that Mark gave to us. And in this 16th chapter or 15th chapter of the book of Mark, it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the sufferings that He went to. I'd like to take you to Pilate's judgment hall, the common hall, where they took Jesus after He was arrested. The Jews took Him first to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, and they brought all kinds of accusations against Jesus, and they gave Him a mock trial, but they could not put Him to death because the Jews' mode of capital punishment was by stoning, and the prophets had prophesied that He would be crucified. And so the Jews, they did not have the power or authority to crucify Him. So they took Him to Pilate, and they brought these accusations against Jesus in the presence of Pilate. And Pilate examined Him. And after his examination, he said, I find no fault in this man. He has done nothing worthy of death. He said, at this season of the year, I always release a prisoner. And he said, I'll just scourge Jesus and turn Him loose, you know. But they said no. They had a criminal, a malefactor in the prison. And they said, no, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And that was the demand of the people. They hated Jesus without a cause. He had never done anything to any of them. In fact, the Bible says he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And so the good deeds that Jesus had done, they didn't take that into account at all. They just wanted him crucified because he claimed to be the Son of God. They turned him over to Pilate, and Pilate, after he examined him, he said, we'll just scourge him and let him go. But they said, no, crucify him, crucify him. And so the Bible tells us that they stripped Jesus from his own clothing, and they put on him would be recognized as royal apparel. They put a robe upon him, and instead of putting a crown upon his head, they put a crown of thorns upon his head. And then they scourged him. They beat him merciless. And he was really treated worse than any man has ever been treated. And after they had scourged him, they took him to the place called Calvary. It's also known in the Bible as Golgotha. It's a place of a skull. It's the place where they crucified criminals. And of course, we know Jesus was not a criminal. Jesus had done no wrong whatsoever. And yet, they treated him as though he had done wrong. And Jesus, and through all of this, he was accomplishing one thing. He was going to the cross on our behalf. And he was smitten, and he was beat, and he was nailed to the cross. And the Bible tells us, about the time he was on the cross. He was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning. And then about 12 o'clock noon, the darkness came upon the face of the earth. And he was hanging on the cross in darkness from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When Jesus finally, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And so the cross is absolutely essential to salvation. The Bible says that Jesus took our place. He became our substitute. He died the death that we should die, so that we would be able to have be reconciled to God and have peace with God and have eternal life and have a home in heaven when this life is over. And if you're saved today, if you have been saved, then one of these days when death overtakes you, your body will die, but your spirit will not. And your spirit will be borne by the angels to the bosom of Abraham, where the Bible tells about Lazarus when he died. He was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham, and there he was comforted. And we have lots of troubles and trials in this world. When we breathe our last breath, if you're saved, your troubles will be over. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death. And there will be no more dying. And we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing to think about. The sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Brother Buddy maybe said in his Sunday school lesson this morning, it makes us sad to think about Jesus dying, and the way he was treated and the punishment that he went through. But that's not the end of the story. They buried Jesus. We go from Pilate's Praetorium out to Golgotha, and we see Jesus hanging on the cross. And we see him in the last moments of that time. He bowed his head and he said, "It is finished." And he commended his spirit into his Father's hands. Now that simply means this. that it wasn't crucifixion that killed him. They could not have killed him if it had not been his will to die. And Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, he said, "No man taketh my life from me." He said, "I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again." And that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life, my friend, for all of us. And then they took him from Golgotha. A man by the name of Joseph had a new tomb in a garden that had never been used. And of course, Jesus, he said in the Gospels, he said, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have dens, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, you know how that Jesus Christ became poor that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. He did not have even a burial place. And so Joseph took him and poor old Nicodemus. I thought about him, you know, a lot. He came to Jesus by night, in the darkness of the night. But you know what? He was in the darkness of his religion as well. He never had been saved. He didn't know a thing in the world about being born again. And he came to Jesus, and that night he found out how an old man could be born again. And I'm glad that the Lord loves all of us. How he loves the young, these precious young children that sang up here. Some of them have been saved and have a wonderful testimony, and some of them haven't reached the years of accountability yet. But I'm telling you, Jesus loves them. The Bible tells us that that Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." But I'm glad that God loves old men too. I'm glad that, my friend, though a person may have lived their life in sin and serving the devil, I'm glad that Jesus will still save them if they'll just repent of their sins and trust him with all their heart. So Nicodemus found out what it is to be born again. I'm glad I found out what it is to be born again. To pass out of the state of death and into the state of life, never to die. You know, we as Christians, you know, we don't look at death as being the end of our life, because it's not. You know, Jesus told Martha, she said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died." And Jesus said, "Your brother's going to live again." She said, "I know he'll live again at the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection." And he said, "He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And so a child of God, when you carry him to the cemetery, you're only taking the body, the old house they lived in. The real person is already in the presence of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad that God loves all of us, and he's made it possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son for us to live and to die, no, never, as somebody said in a song. Now they put Jesus in the tomb, Joseph and Nicodemus. And you know, I always have taught, and I believe, that if you ever get the Lord on the inside of you, it'll show on the outside sometime. And that's what happened with old Nicodemus. I believe he got saved. And I believe that it came out because he helped Joseph take Jesus down from the cross. And they carried him to the tomb. And they placed him in the tomb. And they set a guard. They didn't, but the Pharisees did. The Roman soldiers, the Pharisees requested it, and the Roman authorities granted their request. They set a guard to make sure Jesus didn't get out of the tomb. You know, they wasn't expecting him to rise from the dead, But they thought the disciples might come and steal his body and take him away. So they set a guard and they sealed the tomb so that he couldn't get out. And then I want to take you to the first day of the week. The morning after the Sabbath. Some of the women went to the grave. They had prepared spices as they did in that day. I don't suppose that they prepared a body for burial as we do in this modern age in which we live. But they had spices that they prepared to anoint the body of Jesus. And as they went up the hill toward the grave, they talked with each other. They said, wonder who we can get to roll the stone away. But when they got inside, the stone was rolled back. And there was an angel sitting on the stone. And the angel said, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. Said, behold the place where they laid him. You know, and they looked in the tomb. I don't know whether the women looked in the tomb or not, but I know Peter and John did. They looked in the tomb, and that tomb was empty. There was nobody in that tomb because Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, my lesson that I read said this. It said, ye men of Israel, he said, ye have taken by wicked hands, and you have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. And Paul said if they had known, they wouldn't have done that. They didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe Jesus is the Savior? Do you believe he's the only one that can save? I'm affirming today that he is Lord. And he is living. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father today. And he's making he is making intercession for us according to the will of God. And it would please the Lord Jesus today more than anything else in the world if some lost sinner gave their life to Jesus today. That would please him. That'd make him happy. But anyway, he rose from the grave and he showed himself alive. He showed himself alive. Now I want to tell you about the resurrection of Jesus. Now his resurrection wasn't like Lazarus' resurrection. You know, the brother of Mary and Martha. He had died, been dead 4 days. They buried him. And when Jesus got there, he said, where have you laid him? And they took him to the place where Jesus was. And it was a cave. And it had a stone laid on top of it. And it was different to the tomb and the garden. I had the privilege to be in Israel back in 1971. And I went to the tomb of Jesus. It's still empty. And I went to the tomb of Lazarus. And it was a cave. And you didn't just walk in it. You went down through a hole and then into the cave. And there was a stone laid on top of it. And so anyway, he walked up and he said, take ye the stone away. And they took the stone away. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, came walking out of that grave with still bound with grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. But the thing about it is, Lazarus had to die again. He was resuscitated. That's what happened to Lazarus. He was resuscitated. But I tell you, Jesus wasn't resuscitated. He was dead. And, you know, the Greek word for resurrection, I don't know if I can pronounce it or not, but it is A-N-A-S-T-A-S-I-S. And maybe you can pronounce that for me. But you know what it means? It means the standing up of a corpse. That old body of Jesus was just as dead as it could be laying in that grave. But it wasn't possible for death to hold him. And so that corpse that they put in that grave, it stood up and it came to life. And Jesus lives, and he's still living today, and he'll live forevermore. And you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus said to John, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, I heard a voice behind me, and I turned to see who it was, and it was Jesus. And Jesus, he said, I fell down before his feet to worship him. And so he told him, he said, I am the Jesus. And he said, I have the keys of death and of hell. And he said, behold, I am alive forevermore. That's the point I want to make. He's alive. He's alive. And he's living still as the Savior of the world. So today, I'm glad that we don't have to look at death with fear. You know, Jesus, he overcame death. Brother Buddy referred this morning, or maybe Brother Mike, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where, you know, the Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. He said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, that is the fact that we die, the body dies, will put on immortality. We're going to, one of these days, when the resurrection takes place, we're coming out of the grave with glorified bodies. No corruption about us. You know, never to die again. We'll be just like Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so I'm glad today that we don't have to look at death and dying in a mournful way. Of course, we mourn the loss of our loved ones. We're going to miss them, you know. But they're not going to miss us, you know. They won't miss us, because they're going to be rejoicing in the presence of the Lord in that wonderful place called heaven. But we can look at death without any fear. Now, I was quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I got off track, didn't I? But anyway, he said, this mortal is going to put on immortality, this corruption is going to put in corruption, and then the saying will be brought to pass, O death, where is thy victory? He said, O grave, maybe I ought to look at that. I think I might have messed that up. And that's too good to mess up. All right, it says, O death, where is thy sting? Now, I don't know, not everybody agrees with me, but I don't believe there's going to be any sting to death for a child of God. I believe Jesus took the sting of death away. When it comes the time, I tell you, it'll just be like you close your eyes in this world and open them in glory. He said, O grave, where's thy victory? You know, a lot of people look at death as being final. Oh, it's not final. It's not final. Especially if you're a child of God, it's not final. Because the grave won't be able to hold us. Couldn't hold Jesus. And it won't be able to hold us either. We're going to rise. We shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. Amen. Be a good song, Brother Wayne, if you want to sing it. But we're going to rise and we're going to live. And then it says, Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? I just want you to picture standing on the other side of the grave someday and looking back, saying, oh, you thought you had me, didn't you? But it's not going to have us. And he says, the sting of death is sin. But Jesus took the sting out of it. He suffered death for all of us. And he said, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to close. There's a lot of other things I could have said. But you don't have to preach everything you know the first, you know, in one sermon, do you? You need to spread it out, you know. And so I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad Jesus loved me enough to die for me. I'm glad he rose from the grave so that one day I'll be able to rise from the grave. Now, he rose by his own power. But when I raise, it'll be by his power. It won't be by mine. It'll be by his. And so I'm so glad and thankful that you came to church this morning. And I want us to stand and sing a song. Everybody stand and everybody help us sing. If you're glad that you're saved and you're glad you got a home in heaven and you're glad for what Jesus did, well, let's lift our voices and give praise to God.